I'd like to welcome all the visitors, especially those that came from far away, just to give us the privilege of your presence. How many of you here love to receive gifts? Oh, okay, only a few of you. Now, if you are a father, you need to be here next week because there will be a little, from the church, will be a little gift for you, okay? And we will love you to be here, but also bring your kid, bring your child with you. And if your child resists, just say, give me this gift as Father's Day. Go with church with me to church. Bring your kid next Sabbath, okay? I like this verse because it talks about Jesus was praying, constantly praying. And the disciples always pay attention to what he was doing. Not always copying exactly what Jesus was doing, but his presence, and the word presence, it means present, a gift. His presence was a constant gift for them. Anyone here would love the opportunity to say, if somebody wants to give you a gift, give you a choice, what do you want? Imagine you say, how big is the budget? We like to really put value into whatever we receive as a gift. Sadly, sometimes we value more things that cost more than the things that we are more meaningful because the person gave to us. I remember one Christmas, I went to, there was a person that I really respect. And this person was constantly complaining that during the whole day, standing on her feet, that she at evening, it was very painful. And so I went out for Christmas and I bought her a machine that does massage with hot water. And so that was for, I thought this is going to be the most, she would not even imagine. And sometimes when you give a gift and the box is this big, the eyes of the person who is going about to receive also becomes very big. But if the gift is a box is tiny like this, the person is, how can it be that great? And so the box was big. And when she saw the size of the box, she was happy. I could see in her eyes that she was happy. And then came the moment when we all going to open our gifts. And one person opened their gift, somebody else, and then it came her turn. And she opened. Ah, she said. She was expecting something else. She didn't realize yet what was exactly what she was receiving. Afterwards, I believe she enjoyed. But at that moment, she says, ah. I don't know if you have going through your life when you have given a gift to somebody and you are shocked that the person is not as happy. Imagine when you give a gift to somebody and the person says, oh, thank you. Okay, what are we talking about? Sadly, somebody does this. When we think about prayer, we need to understand that a prayer in itself, it is a gift. It is a gift. And you must take as the most precious thing that you have. And so today, we're going to continue what we started last week. Today's message, we are entitled, How to Pray. Of course, in just a few minutes, we're not going to be able to give all the details about how to pray. But at least some, we're all going to be able to. I like that this picture because this little Asian little girl, she is in a, you look at her face, looks like she's really into the prayer. It's a very gorgeous picture. Now, someone knows this handwriting. Prayer, of course, we change the order of the words. Prayer is very important, right? Can you all agree? Prayer is so important. Now, this is what it says. Why is prayer so important? Why? And then it says prayer is vital in the life of every believer. Some of you may know more than one language, and you know vital. The word vita means life. And so prayer is the life of a believer. If you don't pray, you're dying. Basically, that's what it is. It's so vital. If you breathe, you live. If you drink water, you live. But if you don't, what happens? You become blue and you're gone. And so if somebody comes to church and they start looking blue, I know they are not praying. So prayer is vital. It is the life of every believer. And what does the Bible define as life? The Bible defines something as life. God is life. And so if you have God, you have life. You are a believer. If you do not have God, you're just a belly ever. You're not a believer. Okay? That's all you become. And so how to pray? You need to start when they are very young. You need to teach them. Direct your children unto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Proverbs 22, verse 6, New Living Translation. I don't like to brag about anything that we have done for our children, because we enjoy more than probably they did. But one thing that we did is every night before they went to bed, I went to their bed and I told them a story and pray with them. And sometimes I believe was one of the greatest gifts that we could give them is the time that we pray with them, the time my wife spent with them, studying with them and praying with them, because that is what forms people for the future. It is the greatest present, is presence, is the gift that you can give your children. Jesus Christ was constantly in the presence of God, constantly, every early and next morning. And when it says early next morning, if you read the context, he spent the whole day, the previous day, doing teaching, preaching, healing, doing every kind of things the whole day. But when he was exhausted, because remember, he didn't get in his Avalon and or BMW and just drove from one place to the other. He walked every place, and there was no air conditioning or anything else. He did the whole day working, and after, he would spend the time praying. And so this case here, early in the morning, before the sun even came out, it was still dark. Jesus woke up and left the house. He went to a lonely place to do what? To connect, to pick up a gift for the whole day. He went to pray. Mark 1, verse 35, New Century Version. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus is and was and will always be the ultimate model for us to learn how to pray. If you read the scriptures, everything that Jesus did, you see that one way or the other is associated with prayer. The request, Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know if you notice, but this actually is a prayer. This actually is a prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. How many times have you gotten your knees and says, Lord, teach me how to pray? We need to know how to speak to God. There are sometimes we pray very loud. Sometimes we pray very quiet. Sometimes we pray with others. Sometimes we pray by ourselves. Sometimes we pray about others. Sometimes we pray about ourselves. There are times that we have to intercede on behalf of somebody else, and sometimes somebody else is praying in our behalf. I know that I pray for you quite a few times every single day. It is one of the things that we do, and we do this not because we have to. It's because we love to. So when they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so what Jesus Christ did, he gave them a model. The Lord's Prayer is not actually a prayer in itself. It's just a mold, you know, it's just an example for you. It says here is how you should pray. There are some specific values and call God's presence first to connect to God and then goes into the details. So that's more or less what we will share with you. Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. In this manner, therefore, you should pray. This is the model that I'll give to you, he said. In this manner, therefore, you should pray. And then it says, our Father in heaven. Not in the Vatican. Okay, it says in heaven. To make sure that you understand that it's not that one. It's that one. Okay, so don't get yourself confused. Our Father, which is in heaven. Not again. Okay, hallowed be your name. Now notice that Jesus Christ could say, when you pray, say, my Father. He didn't say, my Father. Why? No prayer ever, no matter how afflicted you are, should be all about ourselves. The best result, prayers that really are effective, is when you pray for somebody else. Sometimes we have this notion that unless I pray for me, I'm in trouble. I won't get the things that I need. The Bible says, we mentioned this last week, when Job was praying for his friends, that's when everything changed in his life. When he spent all the time thinking about him, nothing changed. When he thought about his pain, the fact that he lost his property, the fact that his wife is very moody because she doesn't lost a child, lost her children too, and all those things, nothing happened. But then he turned and he started worrying about somebody else. And there it came. Practice this. Spend more time thinking about the good of others, and you see how much good will come in your way. Be an instrument of goodness, not with the intent to invest, because sometimes we do things because we invest. I will give you a dollar, and I hope you give me a dollar back, or two. Sometimes we approach prayer in a very wrong way. Our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be your name. How can the name of God be holy if we don't keep it holy? When we say, let your name continue being holy, because Lord, here I am. I am an instrument in your hand, and I will keep holy what is holy. How can the name of God become holy? If God is present, every place where God is present becomes holy. You remember that in our bulletin, I always, on the screen as well, I make sure that you see the Abba in the middle of the Sabbath, because it is His presence. Our Father, when He is present, everything becomes holy. So when you talk to Him and He comes to listen to you, there is holiness at that moment. Remember when Moses was talking, came to the before the bush? Take off your sandals. Why? I have walked here many times, back and forth. I never had to do that before, but there is something different now. I'm talking to you. I'm here. This place is holy. So when you kneel, brothers and sisters, that environment becomes holy. That's why you cannot allow yourself to be distracted by anything else, because any distraction is with the intent to push God out so that we go back to normal. We want to remove holiness and we go back to our worldly things. So when you do pray, make the location where you are a sanctuary, because it is. May your kingdom come soon. I use this version because I like the way it says, I don't want your kingdom just to come. I want it to come in soon. I want to be in your kingdom forever. May your will be done on earth. How can that be? If all the preachers, the churches are preaching that to keep the law is no longer necessary. We all, by grace, have you heard that before? We all live by, hallelujah, we all live by grace. What is commandment stuff? This is for the legalists. We all need to do whatever we please. And today we live in a society that everybody's being taught that says, you know, it's not right and wrong. It's how I feel. I feel this way, therefore, that's the... And when I feel and that becomes law, who is God? Some of you say me. I say no one. You know, nobody always think they are somebody. And they remain nobody. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, somebody in heaven decided to have his own will. Remember? Have you heard about it? And what happened to him? He is no longer there. He no longer has eternal life. He lost everything. But he's so blind that he doesn't see. And he's created more blind people to follow him. As it is in heaven. Yes, by the way, in heaven, there are 10 commandments. Not 9 or 9.5. It's just 10. Because the law of God is the reflection of God's character. Whatever God is, the law is there. Give us the food we need, not just bread, because, you know, we cannot live by bread alone, right? We know that. So he says, give us the food that we need for what? So I can build another room in my house and a store. Some people buy food just like they buy the junk they put in their garage. They buy so much food like they want to eat for the next 10 years. And you know, they expire and you can end up poisoning yourself if you keep eating all this stuff. Clean your refrigerator. You know, maybe you need to shrink your refrigerator. Have you noticed that we are buying a refrigerator bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? And I remember the giving Bible study to a family. They have a refrigerator inside of their house. And then I noticed every time the lady needs something, she went go to the garage. And one day I noticed why. They have a 2 or 3 refrigerators in the garage too. It was just the 2 of them. And you know Mendoza's, yes. By the way, they are already no longer with us, so I can't mention the name without it be offensive to anybody. Yes, Matthew 6, verse 11, New Century Version says, give us what we need. Not, remember when the Bible talks about when God sent the manna? What happens to every day? Every day. It came on Friday or the 6th day. God gave a portion, double portion. Why? This is for the Sabbath. This is for today. This is for the Sabbath. Oh, somebody will grab a little extra. It is spoiled. So think about this when you ask. Don't ask God to give you what you don't need. Ask God to give only what is needed. And by the way, God knows what is needed. Forgive us for our sins. How many of them? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess all our sins, he is faithful and he will forgive us all. And I tell people, do you want to be a saint today? Do you want to be holy right now? There is a key. And you find that in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. That's the key. If you confess your sins, but you know, confess, but you really confess, like you mean it, God will erase all your sins. And what happens to a person who has no sin? How do you call it? Holy. Yeah, you may be holy for just a few minutes, but at least you'll be holy. It's a good feeling. Try it. It makes you feel good. Forgive us for our sins. This is the most dangerous part of the prayer. Just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Please be careful. Please be very careful when you say those things. Because you may be all by yourself, but Satan is listening to what you're saying. And he knows how good you are in forgiving. What is the word forgive? What I like about English is that sometimes all these compound words, they say a lot. And sometimes if English is your first language, sometimes you just use them without even thinking. But for us that is not our first language, we take the time to look into the details. We don't just take them for granted. Forgive. You don't find anywhere in English it says for keeps. It's not to keep, it's to give. You must give forgiveness because it's by giving that you shall receive. No one will be forgiven if they do not develop the ability to forgive. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, in a New Living Translation, it says this, and don't let us yield to temptation. If you have any other version of the Bible, I'd like for you to go to this particular part of the prayer and highlight it, because in most Bible versions, they got this wrong. They said, do not lead us to temptation. And that is a contradiction of James 1:13 that says, God tempts no one. So I like that in a New Living Translation, they did exactly all the Bible that I was brought up with. In my country, the first Bibles that I received, the Almeida version, it has been around almost as long as the King James, and they got it right from the beginning. And I'm not biased. I'm just telling the truth. Yes, they got it right, because the first time I was taught when I was 10 years old to pray the Lord's Prayer, they said, do not let us fall into temptation. That's the Portuguese version. And this one is the most correct. Why? Because how can God push us into temptation and then deliver us from temptation? It doesn't make any sense. So you have to understand that this is the correct approach to it. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the one who is tempting us, from the one who wants to bring us down. Okay? So I hope that you make that correction. And also this portion here in many prayers, if you go to talk to people from other denominations, even some Seventh-day Adventists, they don't have this portion as the Lord's Prayer, because some manuscripts, some Greek manuscripts, did not include this part. So, but the King James brings this part. Okay? Some other versions may not. So, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because the portion is very biblical, it does not contradict anything in the Bible, I accept as inspired. Okay? It doesn't matter how many manuscripts brought it or not. It sounds like the benediction. It's a very common way to close a prayer. So for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So when you pray, praise God for all the good things that he has done. I have some verses here that I used last week, and I'm going to repeat them again because they are too good for me not to repeat them again. Our Lord, our Father in heaven, please remember, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, or what we needed to eat. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then, this is vital for us to understand. Here is a Bible text that I'd like to share with you also. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. It says, therefore, if you bring a gift, or even if you try to be present before God, but you remember that you have some problem with your brother or sister, or your spouse, or your child, or co-worker, fix that before. Don't come unclean before the mighty God, because he won't be able to show up. Your uncleanness will push God away. So please, make sure that you do forgive others before you come ask God to forgive. Before you come before God, make sure that you have done what is right. And this, it says, if you have something against somebody, go and fix. Leave your gift. I have seen people that says, oh, they apply this as, oh, I'm not going to return the offering until I fix some problem that in my life. No, no, just leave the offering here and then go in and fix the problem. No, I'm just kidding. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift, because then your gift will have value. Mark 11, 25 and 26, it says, and wherever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your own sins. See how vital it is for us to go and take care of things. The same way we treat others is the way we expect God to treat us. Don't let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then it says, pray that you will not give in to temptation. This is what Jesus Christ said in Luke 22, verse 40. New Living Translation, just the last part of it. Yours is the kingdom. Yes, his is the power. His is the glory forever. Pray, brothers and sisters, according to his will. Every single time you approach him, make sure that you approach him to please him, and he will please you. Sometimes we go before God and turn God into a servant instead of a Lord. It doesn't work, brothers and sisters. Pray according to his will, and whatever you ask, you receive from him, because we keep his commandments. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, the connection is, if I want to see him, I need to be like him. If I want to talk to him, I need to be like him. I cannot come to God and pretend to be his child when I refuse to obey him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3, verse 22, New King James Version. And then it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, Jesus Christ, that if, and remember I mentioned this many times, here is if. If is the middle of life. If is the middle of gift. It's if. The condition, the choice, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Guaranteed. 1 John 5, verse 14, New King James Version. Brothers and sisters, pray. Pray about everything. But by the way, I have seen people sometimes, they form their will, they desire something, and then they go to God. And then they almost impose, Lord, please let me have my way. And then they go around and says, yeah, if it's God's will, I will have it. Be careful, brothers and sisters. You cannot manipulate God that way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything in your life. Talk to God about everything. He knows everything. He can do everything. He is everything. Talk to Him about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him, always being grateful for all He has done in your life. Philippians 4, verse 6, New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, Scripture tells us, pray all the time. How many times in the day you close your nose and close your mouth and don't breathe? Have you done this exercise a few times during the day? And you may ask, Pastor, are you confused? What is going on? Of course I'm not doing that. Why not? Because you need air to live. You need prayer to live as well. Don't stop breathing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop living. Life is all that we are. Always be joyful. And by the way, joy, it shows confidence. Even when there is pain and we show joy, that means we have faith. And it's contagious. Try. Go in front of the mirror. Look at yourself very serious. And then smile. You'll be saying, what? There is something in our brain that it triggers right this. Every single time that we have any reason to smile, even laugh at ourselves, it is a wonderful practice. Practice having joy. And the more joyful you are, the more joy starts coming, showing around. You see, if somebody sees that you're a very happy person, that you're people want to be close to you. A joyful person is never alone. Bitter people, you know, people that they drink lemon for breakfast? Have you met someone like that? Yes, I have seen people that they come to church and it looks like they took a whole gallon of lemon when they came to church. Brothers and sisters, you needed to be joyful. The Bible says as a commandment, always rejoice. Rejoice, and I say it again, rejoice. Be joyful. Joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in every circumstance in your life. That's the secret of being a happy person. Happy person is not a person who has everything right, but it's a person who believes that everything will be right. For this is God's will for you and for everyone who belongs to Him, that He paid the price to rescue. Yes, who belong to Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, New Living Translation. Yes, I have a homework to give you. Anybody here likes homework? If you like or not, you're going to get one. Now, it's up to you to decide if you're a good student or not. I want this afternoon, when you feel like a little tempted to do things that you're not supposed to, or be thinking about things you're not supposed to be thinking on the Lord's Day, take your Bibles and go over. You can do with somebody else. Talk with somebody. And look at John 17, verse 1 to 26. This is one of the greatest prayers that Jesus Christ has in the Bible. Read. Go over with your loved one, and that way your Sabbath afternoon will be more enjoyable. All right? Again, for those of you, John 17, verse 1 to 26, okay? Now, in the Bible, we have essential direction on how we should approach God. It says in James 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who is the righteous person? The one who wants to live right. I was talking to somebody and I said that I'd like to see all of you in the right side of the tree of life. Have you remember that I mentioned this quite a few times? What time was that I said that we're going to see each other? At 3 o'clock. And why 3 o'clock? Because there was a guy at the right side of Jesus that was talking to Jesus. Oh, please remember me when you go in your kingdom. And he says, yeah, you're going to be there with me. Yes, you're going to be there. I think in the whole, everybody in the Bible, nobody heard such a promise so beautiful like that one. This guy was in pain. There was no more life for him. There was nothing. There was no future. And suddenly he saw an opportunity. And he grabbed by faith that opportunity. And the creator of the universe told this individual, yes, you're going to be with me in paradise. Yes, you can have a confidence of your salvation because I heard your prayer and I'm giving the answer right now. You will be with me in paradise. He became right, not because he was on the right side of Jesus, but because he chose right. And when I tell people I like to see you on the right side of the tree of life, I like to be right. You cannot blame me to be right is a good feeling. Yes, be righteous. Be at the right side of things. Pray and the Lord will answer your prayers. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing else more important for us than to say, come Lord Jesus. Maranatha. God bless. Amen. Let's stand and sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is ours.